This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. That's the Western Hemisphere. Professor Evan Ellis is here. Look at your map. Two continents and Central America pushing us together. However, over these last years, there's reason to wonder what the U.S. policy is towards the Western Hemisphere. Over the last 100 years, there's been an intention to follow through on the first 100 years of intention, which was called the Monroe Doctrine. That is, this is our kitchen, stay out. That message was delivered to the Germans, to the British, certainly several times, in the 19th and 20th century. Now that message is being delivered to Moscow, to Beijing, to Tehran, etc., bad actors, plus the smugglers who are called now narco-terrorism. It's our kitchen, stay out. The Trump administration has announced in very historical terms its ambition. New economic Monroe Doctrine. These are words of the Secretary of the Treasury, applying them to Argentina, but the influencing the whole of the continent. So the professor is here to help me go through the nations that are suddenly showing interest in center-right. Professor, we've gone through this list before, but it's instructive to say that there's movement everywhere that isn't necessarily related to next-door neighbor or to narco-terrorism. It's just an intention of the voting. I begin with a success already booked. That's Bolivia. Would you say that the most recent vote for the president indicated a move towards the center or even the center-right? Thank you.
Well, Doug, certainly in Bolivia is a complement to a number of other states in the region, including Argentina and Ecuador in recent elections, possibly Chile coming up in the future and others. There's a strong move towards governments who are more open to free market activities, more open to working with the United States, although still more than happy to work with the Chinese in terms of selling them products and welcoming a Chinese investment, albeit maybe staying away from some of the U.S. Areas of concern, like military engagement. So clearly Rodrigo Paz has been open to what he calls free market for everyone. So on the one hand, he has indicated that in diplomatic terms, he wants to reestablish relationships with the United States, recalling, for example, that Evo Morales, one of the previous populist leftist leaders, had kicked out the U.S. ambassador Philip Goldberg in 2008. And so clearly this is welcome in terms of economic policy. Rodrigo Paz had indicated he was withdrawing Bolivia from ALBA, a alliance of leftists, what they call Bolivarian states. He's indicated that he is open to working and supporting the Venezuelan legitimate de jure government of Bruno Gonzalez and not the Maduro de facto government. And he's indicated that he's open to free market finance. And so he signed a big deal, $3.1 billion deal with the Andean Finance Corporation, the CAF, the Corporación Andina de Fomento. So these are all welcoming signs. It's not clear yet whether he's going to work with the Inter-American Development Bank or the International Monetary Fund. But he certainly does seem to be going in a more pro-market direction. Although one of the other things that he did is he met with the Chinese Ambassador Wang Liang to indicate that he wanted to deepen relationships with China, presumably in areas like lithium, gas and oil, other mining ties, and the work with Chinese companies in developing Bolivia's hydroelectric and other infrastructure. And so we live in a complicated world where there are these governments that are willing to work more closely with the United States, maybe do things in a less populist, statist way, but that has not stopped their interest in wanting to work with China.
We go to Peru because you were for some time now watching the development of a very large facility, a deep water port in Peru that is entirely controlled, owned, built, controlled, dominated by the Chinese Communist Party. And the significance in Peru cannot be underestimated. At the same time, there's been a double change of leadership over these last months and years. Castillo, the elected president, a man who is associated with indigenous people, is in jail for corruption. The vice president, Ms. Balarte, who took his place, is elbowed aside for corruption. The man now calling himself president has not been elected. However, there's reason to believe that he's moving back towards the center, not because he's inspired, but because he's practical-minded, and he sees what's happening in the continent, and especially what's happening in Argentina. Is that a significant move in Peru, or is this, what you'd have to say, expedience, and the Chinese remain fixed?
Well, it's a great question, John. And again, we come down to this dichotomy that we find across the hemisphere between a willingness to work with the United States, or at least not exclude the United States, and a move away from kind of populist, statist economic policies versus a continued willingness to, you know, welcome doing business with the Chinese. And so in the case of Peru, in the political sphere, you had, of course, the again, the more populist president, Pedro Castillo, who, when he tried to legally dissolved the Peruvian Congress, was ousted, replaced by his vice president. It was that vice president, Dino Boluarte, who, with the support of the United States, chose really to work much more closely with the United States than Pedro Castillo had. And what we're seeing now in political terms is that after her ouster, because of a loss of confidence, because of her inability to be able to wrestle with some of the criminality and insecurity and corruption in the country, indeed implication for her own personal corruption. Now the new president, Jose Jerry, has continued a politically U.S. line and certainly willing to work with the United States in different economic areas. However, Jose Jerry also continues, just as Dino Boluarte had, to work with the Chinese. The Chinese are the biggest investor in the Peruvian mining sector. Of course, they just opened up this big new port, which will transform the logistics, not only in Peru, but in the Pacific, the port of Chancay. That is something that they certainly are not backing away on in terms of exports of Peruvian agricultural products, including avocados and fruits and other things. They continue to look to China in terms of oil production operations, going back to, I believe, 2014. The Chinese companies have an important role after they purchased Petrobras assets in terms of physical infrastructure. You talk about building a train across the continent, the Bioceanic Railroad, which would connect Chancay to Atlantic ports in Brazil. So all of those things are going forward. The look to the Chinese market and wooing of Chinese investors, the use of Chinese construction companies in projects throughout Peru. So that all continues even as there's a willingness politically and in security matters to work with the United States. I think just like we've seen with Bolivia and other countries.
Chile, it's in the present condition. The last time we talked of it, it's a presidential cycle of election here. The surprise in the first round was that the candidate associated with the left did not score well, and two candidates associated with the right did. Now, Chile is in the hands right now of a man who identifies himself as a Marxist, sometimes a Leninist Marxist, other times. He's a graduate student. Good for him. However, the whole of Chile is vital for the future because of the need for copper. There is no bottom to copper. You can't have too much copper. And therefore, Chile's movement is significant for the whole of the future for the U.S. Is it moving to the center, or is this am I misapprehending the recent voting?
Well, it's interesting, John, that in the November upcoming elections, Chile could be moving actually to the right, at least the social right, if not also the economic right. And so, as you pointed out, Chile's system has long been kind of a European-style social democracy, and that has certainly been deepened with Gabriel Boric, the current president. The upcoming elections, the person on the center or left that essentially is postured to lead that charge on the left to replace him, Jeanette Jara. Jara is not only a socialist, but actually comes from the Chilean Communist Party. And so the fact that she is the likely candidate for the left, and there's Evelyn Matei, who's a candidate in the center, who's polling roughly third But it looks like, given the fear among Chileans, who again have dealt with the left before and in the far left, and have a long fear of the communists, and also a sense from the previous military regime that the right helps to bring order as well as a protecting certain social values, which are important to conservative, largely Catholic Chileans. So it appears that the risk of Jeanette Jara, the communist, becoming the candidate on the left, could actually push Chileans in the November election to elect José Antonio Kast, who, again, he is a social conservative, but also free market oriented, pro-U.S. oriented. So that would take Chile economically and politically even farther to the right, with a deepened willingness to work with the United States. Although, as with Peru, as with Bolivia, it is unlikely that even José Antonio Kast would not seek to continue Chile's very important relationship with China. The vast majority of Chile's copper exports are bought by China. Its potassium nitrate fertilizer exports are sent to China. The key destinations now for Chilean cherries, Chilean wines, Chilean table grapes are all now China. China is becoming an important investor as well as player in the Chilean infrastructure sectors, transportation infrastructure, telecommunications infrastructure, et cetera. And so the irony is that even if we get a conservative and free market, José Antonio Kast is the next president, Chile will still probably be looking mostly across the Pacific to China for economic partnerships.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We're looking for clues for this new economic Monroe Doctrine that the Secretary of the Treasury has announced in connection with Argentina, but we're looking at other states. Everybody reads the headlines. When we come back, Brazil and Mexico and Colombia, three big economies, where are they in this question mark about Monroe Doctrine? This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.